Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Live Zero with Weekly Wrestling Heat. We are back with another episode. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and our new channel on Twitch. Follow us at Weekly Wrestling Heat TV on Twitch. We've got our boys Matt and Moise here. Let's get it started, man. This week has been really interesting week in wrestling, and it's leading up to this weekend's pay-per-view at AEW Revolution. So let's hop into it, man.
Yeah, let's do that. But before we do that, I have a challenge to everybody that is watching it, either live or in the past. Share this with somebody you know that enjoys talking about wrestling. They either enjoy NXT, they enjoy AEW, they enjoy MLW, they enjoy the one with the owl. What's that promotion called? The owl promotion? Impact. That one. Yeah. Impact Wrestling. Any form of professional wrestling that you like, share this with somebody you know. And tell them to also share it with somebody that they know. Because if you can tell somebody that you know to share it with somebody that they know, then they'll share it with somebody that they don't know, and then they don't know who they'll share it with. And we'll be good, okay? That's the equation and the formula that we need to stick through and follow. I'm going to grab all the links. I'm going to find all the links for the show, and I'm going to share them out all over the place in the chat. I'm going to spam the shit out of these links and stuff. So be prepared.
We might make an OnlyFans page where we model and stuff too. You know?
I never agreed to that, and now I'm going to. Now I guess this is Moise's show all by himself. Now enjoy Moise. Enjoy. Yes, I'm excited to talk about this week's in professional wrestling, AEW, NXT, the upcoming pay-per-view. A lot of fun and exciting topics of debate to go over. And I don't even know where are we starting. Moise, you put together notes, I believe, and I like where you're going with this. So I think we don't even worry about news, because I don't know if there's anything news we'll be to talk
about. Let's just talk about the passing really quick of Crockett Jr. He was a pioneer, so moment of silence for that, you know. And I will continue, Matt.
Okay, now we're good. And then we are moving on to your next. We talk about Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley, Chris just said Moise solo run. He might get a solo run because it turns out he's healing on his partners over here and threatening us with taking off his pants. So if that's the case, he's having a solo run. Yeah, so let's talk about this. Bobby Lashley is somebody that I have never been a big fan of. When he was in WWE to begin with, he was obviously very green, brought up too early. When he made his transition to Impact Wrestling, when I was watching Impact Wrestling, I never liked Bobby Lashley. I've always felt that he was very green in the ring. I've always thought that he's very mediocre on the mic. I've just never really been into, I am bigger than you and I'm just going to beat you up. I'm not like a fan of that character normally.
So, Matt, not being a smartass here, I want your honest answer. When you're watching Impact at that time, who were the wrestlers in Impact that you were behind? Because people loved Bobby in that run. So
yes. I did not see him in the run where he became the world dominator. I tuned out right before that had happened, when he first got into the company and was just doing his startup and ramp up. Like, I was watching AJ Styles was still there, and I was obviously watching him. Matt Hardy was not even into the deleted Matt Hardy yet. He was in the ice pick Matt Hardy. Who remembers the ice pick was his submission move that he was trying to get over. That was just a reverse
guillotine.
Chicken wing. Yeah, reverse guillotine. And he called it wasn't it called the ice pick? Somebody back
it,
me up.
It was called the ice pick, and he was trying to get EC3 over at that point, I believe.
It was terrible. It was real bad. It was real bad. That's when I remember. And then he came back to WWE, and he was kind of floundering. I don't think WWE knew how to book him. Both of you told me that as well. In fact, our wrestling chat, you've been dying for him to get a run for a while. I just think, and he looked way more improved in that Elimination Chamber match. He looked more improved in the pay-per-view that I watched before that of him as well. He's definitely more improved in the ring. I still just think he's kind of sloppy. He has that sort of style where if he picks you up for a suplex and it starts to like kind of break down and he should just like stop the move, he doesn't, and he just keeps going with it. And the suplex, you will look really, really ugly. Like, he's one of those wrestlers you can find lots of botches for, and I don't even think they're all his fault. It just so happens that he's a part of the botch that's happening for whatever reason.
He does have a body type a lot of wrestlers in WWE don't have anymore. Like, he's tall and built.
Agreed.
The only person with that type of body type that's coming to my head right off the bat is Dijakovic. And even that, they have him masked up and working tag matches now. So That's the only one I can really think of. Because even Baron's got a little bit of healthy fat on him.
Well, Braun has actually slimmed up and got buff like Bobby.
Braun's a good point. Yeah, I forgot about Braun because he's with Shane McMahon now and Adam Pearce. Who knows what the hell's happening there?
Yeah. Talk about why you're excited for this start of the run, and what do you think you see come from this? I want to hear.
So I like the fact that they placed him with MVP because this was a remake back to the old Impact days when he was with MVP. But this time around, they're actually started booking him correctly because when he came back, they put him in that storyline with Lana and Rusev and stuff like that, kind of turned me off from him for a little bit. Even though he was doing the best he could, but now that he's on there, he has that voice, that talker that can talk for him where he doesn't have to talk a lot. And he has that push now with the Hurt Business behind him. It's a good faction that I think can cause a lot of damage, can cause a lot of chaos around WWE Raw. And then and then I could see this going past WrestleMania if they let him keep the belt against whoever they put against them. So I would like to see him hold the belt at least till SummerSlam, but I don't know if we're going to get that run, that lengthy run that people are actually wishing that would happen. So
my take on it. Do we feel, here's the thing. I feel horrible for Drew McIntyre and him having to be the COVID champion and whatnot. But I really want to see MVP and Heyman just do this Brock and Bobby thing at SummerSlam if they can.
Maybe I missed something. Why is Drew McIntyre not going to be the champion heading into WrestleMania?
Because the speculation is the live crowd's going to be behind Bobby, and it's going to be.
I disagree with that. And I could be misreading this completely. I am not the demographic for WWE Raw SmackDown generic.
A lot of people are getting bored. We're getting bored of Drew because they thought all of his matches were the same. And then I'm not gonna lie. What I think really screwed the Drew thing up was losing the belt to Randy and then winning it back. I think that really put the bump in it. So that's my opinion.
They should have kept. No, they should have kept. I agree with you. I actually agree with you. They should have kept the belt on Drew till at least WrestleMania and let him either, if he was going to lose it, to lose it to whoever they were going to put. If they would have put it against Lashley, I would have loved to see him lose it against Lashley instead of having him drop the belt to Randy Orton just to pick it back up. It's not his fault in general because of the fact that COVID kind of ruined his reign a little bit.
Yeah, but it sounds like if COVID wouldn't have happened, I wonder if his reign would have been cut shorter. Which WWE is very known for, right? Like, if you're not putting butts in seats, they will take that belt off you very quickly. Like, don't forget the very first run of the championship with Sheamus, or the very first run of the championship with Jack Swagger. He was a champion. Jack Swagger was a world heavyweight champion in WWE. Who remembers that?
He had Jericho putting him over, dude.
Yeah, and he still couldn't get people excited for him, though. He still couldn't get people excited for him as champion.
I think Drew McIntyre went into WrestleMania last year with the momentum.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after eliminating Brock Lesnar from the Royal mm-hmm. Rumble match mm-hmm. itself. I think it put he had the momentum. He had the people behind him. I don't think he ever lost that the support. I just think it kind of just became. It's kind of like let's compare it to John Moxley's on reign. He had the support, he had the momentum, but what happened? COVID happened, so it's just like it was like a roller coaster ride where people were like, "Is he defending it? Is he not defending it?" It's the same thing with Drew McIntyre. So, it was like it just got to the point where you're just like, "All right, when are you going to lose it?"
So the dirt sheets are the things that's saying that it's going to be Bobby and Brock, correct?
No, it's going to be Bobby and McIntyre at Mania.
It's going to be Bobby and McIntyre at Mania?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm cool with that. But we're expecting Bobby to go over, correct?
We're wanting Bobby to go over. The dirt are wanting Bobby to go over.
But I don't think he does. I think they give Drew the big pop that he missed out on for last WrestleMania.
I kind of agree on that. I think they're going to give them, since it's going to be on in front of a live crowd, I think they're going to give him that chance to see if he's able to get that pop or get that specific, get that.
Whatever it is they're wanting, right? They're going to actually use this as the test. Like, can Drew be the, is Drew McIntyre HBK or is he Diesel? That's the question that they're trying to answer with WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of these storylines are coming from. They're trying to see if it's going to be something that's going to work for them or if it's something that they're going to have to change a pay-per-view or two later.
I'm going to hope optimistically that it is a very good match between Bobby and Drew for the championship. Hey, guys, if you're just tuning in, by the way, this is Weekly Wrestling Heat. We're talking about all things WWE, AEW, and anything else that may be happening around in the world of news of wrestling. If you are watching this right now, share this video with somebody that you know. I don't care if they do or don't like wrestling. Just share it with them and say, hey, check out these guys talk about wrestling. I don't know who you are. That's like my generic accent that I do for everybody. You may not sound like that, but that's just what you sound like in my head as I said that thing. Okay. So don't think I'm judging you right now, because that's my generic impression for random people. Not that you're random, so, you're special.
So, side note, NWA actually went dark on YouTube this past week, and they actually came back. They're going to be exclusively on Fight now, Fight TV now.
I feel like that's actually worse than being on YouTube. Maybe I'm wrong. Are they going to be free on Fight? Are they going to be free on Fight, or is it
paid? They're doing a package where you get the pay-per-view and everything for like $20. You get like all the episodes and the pay-per-view for $20.
That's not too bad. Do you think their show is going to be an hour, or is it going to be 2 hours?
It's always an hour.
It's going to be an hour.
They're going to continue the power hour.
I'll look at that.
Who's on the roster? Who's on the roster aside from Aldis?
That's it. That's their whole roster, and he just beats up a random every week. He's like, "Yay, Aldis, you want to fight me?" And then Aldis kicks his butt, and everyone's like, "Yay, Aldis is great. He is good. He is very good." Don't get me wrong.
It's just Aldis and Mike Kanellis every week. Is that what it's going to be?
just about. Okay, let's move on, because we are running. We got to get in. I want to get into some predictions, and I want to talk heavy about NXT and AEW this week. But we're going to talk about AEW first right now, by talking about Shaq and Cody, because I'm interested to hear what your guys' thoughts were, because immediately watching the match, I had some pretty immediate thoughts. And if anybody in the comments right now has some thoughts about the matchup on AEW or on NXT, let us know your thoughts about those as well. But when it came to Cody selling for Shaq, I felt like it was a lot. I was pretty impressed that Cody was willing to take that much of a beating. I mean, he got the comeuppance at the end. See, but like all through the beginning,
people compare it to Pat McAfee. But the thing is, Adam Cole is smaller than Cody. Shaq is bigger than Pat McAfee. So
I think if you're comparing that to that, it's apples and oranges on that one. Because
yeah, Pat, I don't think McAfee, you can.
He actually did a lot more than Shaq did in this match. I wasn't expecting much of this match, but I was impressed from what I saw. The women did absolutely good. Good as best as they can
for what we could see when the camera was in the spot on time. Yeah,
yeah, but I still feel like, okay, so Red Velvet. I don't know who I didn't like more. And I know that sounds really rude, and I don't mean it to be rude, but I didn't feel like this was a good impression for either of these women. And that's my opinion. I don't think that this made Jade look very good. I didn't think this made Red Velvet look very good. And I feel like I don't know who I didn't like more in this match because of the circumstances.
You could still see that they're both green on TV.
That's how I felt. So it was a very weird match.
I'm going to disagree with both of y'all, okay? Like, I thought Red Velvet looked money. There's a Bollywood song called Rockstar where it talks about this model walking into the room and how all the guys were like, damn. So when I saw Red Velvet, that's what I was like, even though that was the effect they were going for with Jade. But I got that effect from Red Velvet, and that spear was beautiful. It's just the camera didn't catch it. So...
yeah, but Matt, a spear doesn't.
All these technical difficulties that AEW is having, they need to figure this out, because you're past your honeymoon period now, right?
I completely agree. Actually, one thing about watching this week's AEW versus NXT, I totally was, it was like a light bulb clicked, and I was like, NXT cares so much more about production. They care so much more about production. They care about the skits. They care about the story that they're trying to tell throughout the episode. That's the difference. Is AEW cares more about the long-winded story that they're telling, where NXT cares about the night's story that they're telling. So the production is way different, but the production is way, way different because it doesn't feel... It feels like I'm watching, and this is what All In felt like. This is what the beginning of AEW felt like. It still feels like there are cameras at an indie show that we're watching. That is still what this show feels like. I don't know, because I agree with you what you're saying 100%, but I don't know if that's a bad thing, because it does feel good to watch something that is different.
Okay, but when you have Jericho and MJF doing the stuff on the mic, you can't have the mic cut out during two questions.
Yes, I agree with that. That is inexcusable. That is inexcusable. Completely agree. But you know what I mean about the larger production.
Yeah. Well, it's more like this. So in my opinion, I feel that it's like I agree with Moyes. It's past the honeymoon period. It's time to, you know, considerably tell them to focus more on their production, because if they don't focus on their production, eventually it's going to turn people off. Because if you're having all these glitches, if you're having all this, you can't catch the perfect shots of a certain thing, like that spear. That spear was gold, but you barely saw it happen. So,
well, just like a couple weeks ago with the beach wedding, when you saw Charles handcuff or, you know, getting the leg of Nero, it's like that don't work. That's not okay.
And if you're going to do it, if you accidentally mess up a camera shot, it should be like when WWE messed up that first spear Edge hit at the Rumble last year. You have another camera so you can show it on the replay. But for some reason, AEW were just like, oh, yeah, y'all just saw the back end of the spear. Let's just forget about it.
Is AEW live or is it taped?
It was live this week. It's every other week. It's every other week.
Live and tape. Okay, so that can explain some things. By some episodes, definitely feel a little bit cleaner than other episodes.
You can tell when they're going off the mic. If Jim Ross gets cut off mid sentence, they're probably live.
Yeah, agreed. Back to the match. Yeah, back to the match, because we've been spending too much time on the production. Back to the match. It was actually a very good match. Like, it was a good match, even with what I'm saying negatively about the women and stuff like that. I thought the ending was weird. I didn't see the need to put Jade over in what happened, because you get the baby face to take out the big giant killer, right, in Shaq, and then you get the really good spear from Red Velvet, and then she kicks out. Like, it kind of weakened the impact of what Cody did, right? The sacrifice of jumping into Shaq and stuff. Like, that was a weird booking decision, and I don't know if it should have. I'm trying to like think, like, why would you let Jade go over, right? Why did what does this help in the grand scheme of things? Because now it makes Cody and his team lose and look weak, and Jade, who already looked big and tough, who had the muscle of Shaq, was able to defeat without Shaq now, right? Like, I don't know. Like, are they gearing up for like a big heel push on Jade? I doubt it.
Do you think it's because they've been watching Bianca Belair? Like, and I'm not trying to sound like the WWE mark. Same finishing move, same body type. Both African-American women, both athletes in college.
I would say no, just because I don't think Jade and Bianca Belair are enough of like if they wanted to do like maybe more of like, cause like, I mean, it sounds stupid, but like there's no hair on Jade, obviously. So like, it seems weird that they're like only grabbing, cause like the hair is what makes Bianca Belair. Let's be honest. Right.
Yeah.
Out of all of her physical attributes, and she's very talented and very physical and all that stuff, the hair is the thing that stands out. So you can't have Jade be a quote unquote ripoff. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying without the hair, in my opinion, but I do get where you're coming from. I just don't, it was a weird finish to a very good match that tainted it just a little bit for me.
And I think it would have helped Red Velvet more if Red Velvet won. Like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that would have been a good thing to do for them, to actually have put Jade
over. I almost feel like that's the problem with having Cody in any match that he's involved in. Because if Cody wins, all the AEW haters instantly say, well, Cody wins everything. So Cody then has to take the loss so that nobody can say that all he does is win in his own promotion. But then you're risking hurting the talent that he's with because he took the loss, right? Like, that's
being a person that critiques AEW a lot. I
thought that Cody was going to win because of the way the storyline was going. I really wanted Cody to win.
Cody should have won. Cody could have the right booking, because Shaq ain't coming back.
Well, he's out of the ambulance.
He disappeared from the ambulance. So if he's gonna become
he won though. That's the problem with them winning as well.
Oh my god! Yeah. The Fiend. It was the Fiend that took Shaq out of the ambulance, guys.
Oh my gosh! Big Show announcement. Big Show announcement. First off. Can we all agree that Big Show looked what?
Shout out to Shaq though for doing that tribute.
That table spot.
That was a hell of a show. I love how Cody looked like he was literally just like going on a roller coaster. Like he was like, vroom, vroom.
Why did Cody have to do the scoop slam on Shaquille O'Neal? I don't know. I thought that was kind of like weird too.
If it would have worked, if it would have looked good, then we would have all been saying that was really impressive. But where it looked so botchy, it was like, why did he even want to attempt that? That was a dumb idea. Because I agree with you. Like as soon as it was over, I was like, that was stupid. But then I thought about it, I was like, if he would have done it, it would have looked really cool. His left arm just totally gave out as he was lifting.
Yeah, he was like,
never mind.
Drop. He's too heavy. All
right. Big Show announcement. I think the Big Show looks not jacked a little bit. He looks a little bit in shape.
Did you guys not pick up like he looked happy? He looked really happy. Did he not?
He always had that smile on his face, dude.
This was a different smile. I think he was not happy with his role in WWE, and now that he's out of it, I think he's happy. I think Paul White is happy.
I think he is. I think legitimately he's been there. He hasn't been used, and the times that he was used, it wasn't to his advantage.
And
his last appearance, he got demeaned by Randy Orton and couldn't do anything about it. So it's like. Like, I definitely love seeing the Big Show happy. And, you know, does it hurt that he left WWE? Kind of, because I enjoyed seeing him in WWE. But if they weren't using him and he wasn't willing to go back for just to be not used, then I more power to him.
Yeah.
If they're going to use him for what they're going to use him for, more power to him.
And he had the best line of the night. He had the line of the week on either show, and I really liked a very particular line on NXT this week as well. But he said, raise your hand if you saw this turn happening.
I thought that was funny too. I laughed.
That was so good. That was so good. That was great. That was wonderful. And it was willing to poke fun at himself as a character through what he's gone through his whole career into where he's at now. Like, I don't know if we see Paul White wrestle. We're definitely going to see him wrestling. Do we see him wrestling or do we see him like involved in matches? Like, I don't know.
We're getting a Shaquille O'Neal match. TNT is apparently really high on that. So
I don't want to see that. I didn't want to see Cody and Shaq either, though. So maybe I will like it more than I'm expecting.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Who do you think is the special announcement? I know that I love somebody in our chat, our wrestling chat, said that it was what was the thing
all
that he said?
All elderly wrestlers,
which I just find so funny because the big thing against WCW was also that it was just a bunch of old wrestlers
and
in WCW.
Impact
was true for a little while. For a little while, Impact was an old man's guard when Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff took over.
I want to save this for next week, but I'm going to bring it up, and I just want your quick thoughts on this. Does this remind you of when Impact got switched to Monday nights and, you know, all their drawing power were the older stars, and they were trying to get, you had the beast, like you had Matt Morgan and Samoa Joe, you had the Matt Morgans and Samoa Joes compared to the Brian Cage and the Wardlows, whatnot. Women's division was starting to pick up. It kind of feels very impacty right now. Good Impact though, when Impact was getting 1.5 million viewers.
I think it just feels like wrestling. I think all wrestling promotions, regardless of what it is has their big ups and their big downs. I think that they have momentum right now. I think they definitely have some momentum. I think Elimination Chamber was good. I think TakeOver was amazing, but every TakeOver is amazing. So it's almost becoming, we've talked about this, we've all talked about this before. Impact is not Impact, Takeover is almost too good every single time. It's almost which is a weird thing to say, but we all get where I'm coming from. We want to
complain about a certain thing that happens on Takeover, but then it's just like it delivers.
It
so
does.
You're just like, fuck. You're just like, damn. Like, can I find something wrong with it? And then you're just like, but it delivered. Even the littlest spot that you're like, man, this sucked. But the rest of the show and the rest of the match was awesome.
It's almost become like generic good is the weird thing. Like, it's awesome. But because it's awesome every time, it's like you have to drop every level of awesome every time as well. Like, it's like,
yeah,
there's weird problems with being too good.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing, though, because that means that the company, that the brand is delivering on the action, on the storytelling, and on the matches.
Yes.
But it also becomes to that redundant thing where it's like, well, are you going to change it up a little bit to make it back to that, holy shit, this is like really good. As compared to just be like, well, this is good, but you know, I was expecting a little bit more.
Yeah.
So
it can definitely feel like that. So, but going back to Paul White and his special announcement real quick, who is it? Who do you think it's going to be? I saw somebody say RVD was going to be the person. I didn't know if that was a joke or if that was kind of a real guess. Christian was another one. I saw someone say Tessa and Angle. Somebody said X-Pac and Jeff Jarrett. Some idiot said that. I don't know who said that.
That was me. But no, I.
Oh, was that you? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I gave Elias my real answer while you were gone. Before the thing, I think it's Ken Shamrock. He just went into the Impact Hall of Fame. They got that deal with Impact going on. I think it's going to be Ken Shamrock, and I think this is where Hager's going to get hit. Like, I think this is where Hager's going to get it.
Ken Shamrock was just a little younger. I wish he was just a little younger. And then I would legit be hyped for that idea.
Here's the thing, though. If it is Ken Shamrock, he's more ripped than 90% of that roster still.
He's also very slow, all right? Like, that's not – come on. He's 56. 56. He has to be. Like, 50. Ken Shamrock. Let's find out. I'm gonna tweet him in a minute. He is 57 years old, okay? This is an old man.
How old is Sting?
Sting's not fast either. When have I praised his quickness?
I just saw Ken Shamrock a couple of months ago have a good match with Rich Swann. I saw him have a great match with Sami Callihan in the last 6 months. Elias, I know you've been watching these.
So Ken Shamrock has been to his defense.
Old man Ken mafia Shamrock. Style.
So Ken Shamrock has been pretty good in the ring. I think this is the best he's looked in years, to be honest with you.
I'll look up a fight.
As far as back to the point that we're talking about, I think there was this thing that this podcast or this interview that Jericho did about, you know, them signing old WWE people or older wrestlers. He's saying that a lot of the company, he basically put it in a sense that a lot of the TV stations or a lot of the people that want to do deals with AEW don't know people like the Young Bucks or like Darby Allin and stuff like that. Haven't established superstars like Paul Wright or Sting or even, you know, Taz and people like that helps them make a bond between what the company is and what they're trying to do.
That's why you push Brian Cage. He's ripped. He looks good. He can star in movies. He has a hot wife that also is very talented. That's why you push Brian Cage. But
they should be pushing Brian Cage instead of letting him flounder. That is a legit problem happening in AEW with Brian Cage. 100%.
Interesting. Phoenix. You could easily build him as the next Rey Mysterio for the.
I think they are. I think they are, and I think that, okay, so we've talked about it before. AEW does a poor job of transitioning from matches into promos. Like, they feel like we have to have this match so that we can have this promo, which has been a problem of theirs for a long time. This was the first squash match, which with Pac and Rey Fénix. It was a squash tag team match against two hillbillies. I don't know who they were. Anyways, they beat them within, like, the first, like, 2 minutes, and they never allowed a tag. Pac just only knocked him the crap
Pac,
out of him.
Only Pac has quick matches in Impact or in AEW, it seems.
Yeah, and it's efficient. And it not only is it efficient, but like it works in their favor. Like this is the best squash match on Impact that made both of those people look like
AEW.
Yeah, not the owl. AEW that made them look like just superstars, in my opinion. I think that they are doing a decent job with Phoenix. Phoenix might win the face of the revolution.
He's not in it. No, he lost the last weight last or
that's right. That's stupid. He needs to injure somebody, kayfabe, and get into that match.
Him and Pac win the tag team once, and it's them versus the Young Bucks.
No, yeah, but Young Bucks are going to lose this week, don't you think?
I think Sammy's going to cost them.
Ooh, I'd like that, actually. If Sammy was to cost, that would be some good runaround for the Inner Circle to kind of deal with after the fact, especially because it would give MJF and Sammy a great starting. And their feud's already built, right? Like, it's already fuming. We can already feel the heat and the embers and everything rise off of it. And now what do we use to make that last final spark? Shh, you cost me the AEW Tag Team Champion. That's a good. I like that.
And Phoenix does have some difficulty with English. You can have Sammy be on the mic for him for a couple of tag matches if they team up. You know.
Well, no, because I think Pac and I think because it's the three, it's the death triangle, right? It's Pac.
I agree. I'm just saying if they're doing the Sammy thing after and Jericho and MJF do win, you could easily get away one week with doing Sammy, Phoenix and Pac versus MJF, Jericho and Wardlow.
No more six man tag teams. I am so done.
You're never not going to get that on Impact though. AEW.
Damn, y'all mind is on Impact today.
Man, we should watch some Impact wrestling, I guess. Maybe.
All right, so let's talk about the six man tag between the Good Brothers, not the Good Brothers, but the
FTR and Tony, Terry. Tully
Blanchard and
I know his name.
Jurassic Express.
And JJ Dillon was there for some reason.
Oh, don't even. You know what? Sometimes you can be annoyed at the guests that come in, but not this guest, okay? You don't get to be annoyed at an all-time great legend that they're bringing in for obvious pop value and only for fans of wrestling.
I forgot JJ was a horseman, bro.
Wow. Oh, like when you first saw him?
Well, I didn't know that was JJ Dillon when he came out until they mentioned
I didn't recognize him all that
no,
well.
Wait. No. We talked about this when we did the rankings of best factions.
Matt, you said it too. We didn't know who to put as the four horsemen. Were we going to do Benoit? Were we going to do Magnum TA, or were we going to do JJ?
We'd need to rewatch that to know who we said. But wait.
Here's the interesting thing. Back a couple of last year, I predicted that a horseman style reunion was going to happen.
It's not the horseman without Flair.
Do you think Flair's going to come to AEW for like an appearance? He has to. There's no way WWE is paying Ric Flair enough money to turn down any payday that he can get.
But here's the thing. Tony has said that he would never reach out to Ric Flair because he knows that Ric Flair is always going to be pro WWE.
No, he's not. That is bull crap. Ric Flair came from Tony's mouth.
He's more of a dad to Triple H than Vince is, bro.
When Tony says something you like, all of a sudden you're like, Tony's a man of his word. But when he doesn't say something you like, he's like, he's such a mark. Like, no, you don't get to have it both ways right now.
I'm just saying what he said.
When RVD comes out on Sunday, Elias is going to be like, man, look at Tony hyping all this up for no reason.
It's RVD.
Chris agrees. He thinks that he will make an appearance. Come on. If there's one thing we have learned about Ric Flair over the years of watching him perform in professional wrestling, it's that he is going to take an appearance fee.
Matt, did you watch the last Hall of Fame? And I'm going somewhere with this. Okay.
I did, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head all the stuff.
player in a lot of interviews has been really, really, really high on Andrade. And I was like, whatever, he just saying because Charlotte's dating him or whatever. But if you watch, I rewatched it a couple weeks ago. Every Hall of Famer before they went up shook Andrade's hand. And I was like, this is super weird to me. But then I realized Andrade's dad was huge for all of them, you know, like Andrade's dad was one of the biggest Mexican wrestlers of all time. So I really don't think he can risk that, especially in the position Andrade's already in, not being used. I don't think he's going to risk that.
Chris just brought up the best point. Did no one see him get inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame while working for TNA? I actually think, and I could be wrong on this, I think it's the other way around. Wasn't he at WWE when they inducted him to the TNA Hall of Fame?
Christian was in WWE when he got inducted. And they traded off with Rhino. When they traded off with Rhino. So they gave Rhino for a Rumble, which meant that WWE was like, okay, you can have Christian for the whatever.
Poor Christian. Like, he's like, I'll take it. Please just give me something. Please, I don't want to stand in Edge's shadow forever, and this is something Edge could never have. He can never be a TNA Hall of Famer. Ha! Suck it, Edge!
Christian's run. I actually really enjoyed Christian's run in Impact, by the way.
Christian, I really did, too. Yeah. And what if it is Christian, though? What if it is Christian that's...
That wouldn't shock me, only because we have seen him do minor work for AEW already when they were doing the lead-up towards the Kenny... Or not the Kenny, but the was it Kenny and Mox match? Was it that one?
I know he's directing a movie or producing a movie with Moxley in it, like some
direct.
That's
what. And they showed it on AEW a little bit. So like, I know he's done some like very minor work for him. So it wouldn't shock me, but I'd be cool with Christian coming over. No, I wouldn't. I want to see young talent and not people with names that are so established that they can fall off of themselves with just their name.
One name a lot of people are mentioning, Ryback.
I would not like Ryback at all. I would be against that heavily, especially because they have so many bigs already and they don't do shit with them.
You know what turned everything around? And Elias crapped on this idea already. I think Tessa turned everything around if it's Tessa. I think
I'm not familiar with Tessa. I'm not.
If it's Tessa, I think your women's division is better than WWE's main roster women's division at that point.
That quickly? You can't.
That quickly? Star Power is not going to help it.
Who in WWE can you book in a 30-minute match against a single male?
Oh, you can't hold that against them because we don't see that sort of work. That is literally like, which one do you like more, apples or oranges?
Candice LeRae can go 30 minutes with a guy, and we've seen it in PWG.
It was Joey Ryan. That doesn't count.
It was Adam Cole.
That definitely doesn't count.
It was Adam Cole, Taya Valkyrie. Those women have, you know.
And Gorilla?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Gorilla doesn't count.
Taya did in Lucha Underground with Brian Cage, I think, right?
Lucha Underground doesn't count either.
Why not?
Because it's heavily produced. Lucha Underground was a TV show.
It's a TV show still.
Yeah, well, that's why I keep asking if these shows are live or not. That's why. There's a difference between watching a live action.
I legitimately think Tessa is on the same level as, I'm not going to say Charlotte because she's my number one right now. Like, of all, Charlotte, she's my number one of all time right now. I think Tessa's on the same level as a Bailey or a Becky.
I am not familiar enough with Tessa. I really need to. Chris just said, wait. You're telling me some companies don't count now, Matt Dezen? It's not that companies don't count. It's that the style of wrestling in those companies is different and can't be compared the same way that you compare Impact Wrestling, NXT Wrestling, Raw Wrestling, AEW Wrestling. PWG is way different than anything that we see on a day-to-day basis. Correct? Right?
No, it's kind of like AEW.
It's similar, but it's way, way deeper. Way deeper.
I've never watched a pro wrestling, whatever it is, G stands Gorilla? For. I've never Gorilla. Watched any of those.
You've never seen highlights, at least?
I'm sure I have, but
that's where Chuck Taylor invented the invisible grenade, where he literally took a grenade off his hip that was invisible. And everyone's like, oh my God. And then he throws it in the air and everybody goes in slow motion until it finally hits the ground. And then everyone goes, you've never seen that?
Dude, I think I'm done with wrestling.
No, that's one of the reasons I. You know what's funny is I still do not like the Young Bucks, but hey, I love those kind of Chuck Taylor moves.
I love talking about this, but let's hurry up because we're at 40 minutes. No.
where are we supposed to be? Tessa isn't on Becky's level. I you know what, Chris? I trust you. I trust you. So I'm gonna. I agree with Chris right now. I agree.
Just to
One second. I have to get this out. I think Tessa worked better with Sammy than Becky did with Baron. You can only watch
what's not good. Baron's not good.
You can only watch what's in front of you, right? I don't think Sammy's that great either.
Okay.
But what?
So Sammy Callahan? I don't think he's that great. Not good.
Sammy Callahan isn't.
Just to close the segment before we move on.
He's only good because he's an impact.
So Tessa lost a lot of stock. With this Me Too thing when she got accused of being racist and all this stuff.
But La Roja Negra came out and said they're good. That's the thing that matters.
Well, I mean, it affected a lot of people in this whole speaking out movement. So we'll leave it at that. We'll see who it is. I myself am expecting Tessa to sign with WWE instead of AEW, but if she goes to AEW, it will be a great addition to the roster if they know how to book her correctly. Because that's the problem that I always complain about AEW. They know how to book matches, but they don't give them enough TV time. If you get her on there, it's going to push a lot of the other girls that have been working hard to the back.
You know who it should be, but it won't be Elias.
Yeah, but who should get that spot instead of Tessa? If I agree with Moyes that it'll instantly improve the women's division 100%, like he's saying, and the only reason why is because name the top four women in AEW right now.
Britt. Was it Britt?
Sheeta,
Nyla, and...
Exactly.
Thunder Rosa, if you want to include her.
Could you? I don't know. I don't know.
Is she signed to? Because, you know, they got Thunder Rosa.
That's the point, though. That's the point is they don't even have four top females.
And everyone that came out against Tessa is in WWE. Like, Chelsea Green came out against Tessa, WWE. Just signed a new contract, actually. Britt is actually very good friends with Tessa, from what I've read. So it all... You know, I'm sure Tony's a mark, so he's going to ask the locker room before.
He's a mark now? What is it? Does he know what he's talking about, or is he just a mark? Which one is it?
No, he's a smart mark.
Confusing me?
He's a smart mark.
He can be a mark at times. There's no telling. He's a wrestling fan.
I think good promoters should be a mark, though, to a certain extent. You should enjoy what it is you're doing.
Anyways, moving on.
Triple H is the perfect balance.
He's very good. Agreed.
100%. I want to see you smile and hug your talent when they win titles.
Yeah.
Good job there.
Back to the six-man tag match.
I plan on getting a win this year against you, though. Did it clear.
Did it deliver or did it under-deliver?
On AEW?
On AEW.
For what it was.
It was a very because it's the week before a pay-per-view. My only problems with it were just the fact that I wish there was a TNA match, a TNA title match on the pay-per-view. That's my only problem with the pay-per-view. And this did nothing. Huh?
TNA what? Or TNT? You said
TNT. I want to see a TNT title match. The title belt. TNT title.
Yeah.
On the pay-per-view. No, and it's not. Shut your mouth. Moses, could you quiet? So, quiet, Moses.
All right. So I thought the match was good for what it was. I mean, totally looked better than expected. That's as far as I'll go. The Four Horsemen tease was actually pretty cool in my opinion.
It was fun.
It was fun seeing Arn Anderson come out and be like, throw the four up. So I do want to see what's next with that. I think it's gonna be Cody.
It's Ric Flair.
I think it's gonna be Cody.
Ric Flair.
If you're looking for a Ric Flair style of person, Cody is the perfect candidate.
It can't be Cody because FTR is heel. What are you talking about?
Cody can turn heel.
He's not going to. What are you talking about? Now you're being a mark, Tony.
You know what would be great? If Kenny's like, screw you, good brother, you helped the Young Bucks last week, and Kenny becomes the fourth member.
No, that's not going to happen. I think we're honestly, to be totally honest, we're looking into it way too deep. It's not going to, there's not going to be a four horsemen reuniting of like, hey, these are the four guys that are going to, that's not happening. It's going to be
something that kind of resembles them, but it's not going to be the four horsemen.
I disagree 100% that we don't see, I don't think we see anything four horsemen related other than the managers throwing up the sign as like a nod, and that is absolutely it. We do not see like a formation of a four horsemen group. You can take it to the bank, the bank.
We'll see. Either way, it was a good tease. It was a good moment to see.
Learn to use your talent, Tony Khan.
Sean Spears. That was dumb. That was, hey, we really need to use this guy, do something, because it's been a long time since we've seen him. And the last time we did, he got his ass literally shellocked around the arena and stuff. So what's this? Four horsemen ain't happening in AEW, but just managers in the company. No need for legends to take from the young talent. I agree with Chris. That's all I'm saying.
But you want to keep saying gold dust.
So
shut your mouth. Those are two old people that are not taking from young people. You give two old people a match. It's not like, these two young people could have had their match.
So Sting's Sting and Ricky Starr segment. I still think that they gave away too much.
I agree with you. We've been saying it the whole time.
Why is it on TV every week?
I don't know. I'm good. You know what was good? When they kidnapped Darby Allin and put him in a body bag. That was the best part of this feud. But you know why? Because nobody touched anybody. That's why that was great. But then Sting got powerbombed, and then then we got the sharpshooter that it was really Sting. Come on, man. You can't lose your balance like that. That's funky.
The way they built this is going to probably be Sting tapping out Cage. How is he going to get on Cage if he could barely get on Ricky?
There's no. It's going to be Darby doing a coffin drop on Cage for the win.
All right. Let's go. Let's finish up press conference between MJF and Jericho, and then the Young Bucks coming out. Best line that they threw out was, "If it wasn't for us, you'd be at the Performance Center."
Wait, Elias, you usually don't like comments like that, though, Elias.
It's AEW.
Let him enjoy it.
It's AEW. I mean, they're always going to throw WWE shots no matter what.
But that shot wasn't a shot. That shot was not a shot. It's a matter of fact.
LA
Knight, it's a fact of life.
Oh, I love it. Dude, Matt reminds me of a broke LA Knight and a Sami Zayn combo, so I love it.
You shut your damn mouth with that blasphemy.
Do we think that MJF and Jericho win the tag titles on Saturday?
We spoke briefly about it when you had stepped away for a moment. I do not think so at all. I think Young Buck.
We have predictions later where we're going to talk about this.
Let's hurry up and get through the rest of the night. Come on.
Yeah, Nyla Rose and Ryo Mizunami.
My problem with Nyla Rose is that every one of her matches starts out like a ball of goddamn fire, and then by the end of it, she's so tired, she can't even stand up straight, and then they just basically push her over, and I don't that.
There's more rest holds. No, I completely agree. You're a monster.
I don't think she's actually gassed. I think that's literally their way of like trying to be like, how can we get somebody to get a win over you? Right. It's like, well, what if you're so gassed, you can't do it anymore. That's how they book her to lose every time. And I don't like that. No contact buildup is what needs to happen more often. Yes. Let's be like the best thing.
They killed their dad last week, bro. You don't need animosity.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, We're talking about three different things right now. Let's be honest though, the Matt Hardy and Adam Page is the best build in AEW right now.
Yeah, I'll agree with that one. Yeah. Even though, in my opinion, I thought that the brawl that they had at the end of the show would took away from that. It is to hype up the pay per view, but
it's like
they need to stop doing that because they do that often when a lot of
it's the same thing that happened when they did the ladder match, the Casino Royale ladder match, and the week before they had a big run in. And I remember thinking because it was who was it? I can't remember who it was, but me and Moyes literally said. I think me and Moyes were watching it that week, and we're just like, this is dumb. Like, this took away all the energy that those guys were getting that moment before. Like, that was dumb.
I really want to talk about the next match. We'll get to the next one, the qualifying match. I really have a point I need to touch on this.
Okay, tell us.
Scorpio Sky does not need a mic within 58 miles of him.
He's a little boring.
He sounds like a nerd. This guy's
a little
like,
boring.
I'm going to win the match, and I'm like, I thought you were, but then I heard you speak. No,
maybe this was a trial to see what he was like with a little bit of power.
Contact my girl Alex Gracia, who's his real significant other, and tell her to speak for him because this guy can't speak.
Yeah,
or give him Christopher Daniels. Or give him Christopher Daniels, because this guy cannot speak.
Or give him just a little less time. He did not need to commentate an entire fucking match. Just give him less time.
He needs more TV time. He needs more TV time, because you haven't seen
more TV time. More TV time. Less time on a microphone. He does not need to be a commentator for an entire match, because you're not even looking at him. I know they do cutbacks to him and all that stuff, but this was not about him, and he sure as hell was not strong enough on the microphone to make it about him. He was like, 50% me is better than 100% you.
And here's the thing with that. It's like,
I hate that line.
No, the thing is, like, you have guys like Christopher Daniels in SCU with him. Why didn't Christopher Daniels talk for the dude?
I think that's a tough one because you need to let Scorpio Sky stand on his own. I think Christopher Daniels is not a heat, right? He's not a heater, so he can't be the guy that's standing next to him and talking for him. When I'm pretty sure Scorpio Sky might be taller than him, so like it that would not work. Though you could go with like the legend route a little bit with Christopher Daniels and the Fallen Angel and being just one of the coolest wrestlers in the world and stuff. But I don't know. I get why not, and I get why so. AEW was a decent show. Let's talk about three things we liked about NXT and maybe three things we didn't like about NXT.
I enjoyed the therapy segment.
You don't therapy on me, you therapy on him.
I enjoyed the women's tag team match, even though it ended kind of weird.
Are they doing a main roster versus NXT thing with this? Because that's what it seemed like.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because Adam Pearce is the manager for Raw and SmackDown.
Well, I think you may be right because William Regal said that he had a special announcement next week on NXT dealing that had to do with that. So it might be something leading up to that, which might actually make NXT, they might actually introduce NXT as the third official brand instead of keeping it developmental. And they might use the NXT Evolve as that developmental show, which is going to probably lead to that eventually. Anyways, the third one was the Finn Balor versus Roderick Strong match. I thought that was a pretty good match, in my opinion. I didn't like the Cameron Grimes Bronson Reed match.
That was dumb.
And I didn't like the Ember Moon and Aaliyah match. I thought it was kind pointless.
Pointless, kind of.
Yeah. Side note, the tag team championship match between Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher was a great way to kick off NXT. And I was interested to see what Imperium is going to do. What's Imperium's role in that? Because they distracted Thatcher. And
it's in the past. And in the past, so, I keep bringing it up and throwing it in my face.
Bro, he's from Sacramento. He doesn't have an accent.
He totally had an accent in that segment. What are you talking about? He absolutely did. He 100% had an accent in that segment.
He has no teeth, so maybe he talks funny. But
rewatch it. This is my Ciampa. This is my Ciampa. Yeah, he said it's in the past, and then we're gonna leave it at that.
That's therapy segment. I love the therapy segment too.
Loved it.
In the Hartwell, everything Matt hated about Indy Hartwell, I loved it.
It got overblown. It got overblown. Eventually, I thought she was going to be like, I'd suck his dick.
The demographic WWE wants the guy who drools over Indy Hartwell. That's what they want.
You want to drool over her wanting another man? What? Boy, no, what the hell?
No, dude, just edit the audio out.
I love the way that she kept fawning over that other man that I don't look like. That was great. It made me feel like I was could get her.
Who says I don't look like Loomis? No.
Me. Okay. I will tell you, you don't look like Loomis, my friend.
Okay. So that's one of the things I really loved. I actually liked the women's tag match because I wanted to make this point on today's show. Matt said Raquel Gonzalez is not ready for the main roster. And I was like, you know, maybe Matt had the point. Then I realized Nia is on the main roster.
I thought the same thing when they fell over the announce table. I was like, I wonder if Nyla will just get stuck here and never make her way back to Raw.
Did you see Nia mess up the scoop slam and almost drop Raquel on her head?
She does that weekly. That's her finishing move, like almost death.
Almost death. And no, the third thing is I really liked how Adam Cole and Finn didn't touch this week. I really liked that.
Yes, I forgot about that.
AEW could learn something about that for Sting and Cage. Yeah,
that is what Del Gadillo was talking about, the no contact buildup. That is exactly what happened, and I enjoyed that segment because it was just
you beat him up last week, but now you got your title match. Don't worry about it. Why risk injury? Right? No, that's how you should think about it. But three things I didn't like. I'm not even gonna give you three things I didn't like because I only got one big one. Shotzi. Get her off my TV. Get Shotzi off my TV. Elias, heel Ember. Elias. Matt. Heel Ember Moon with Robert Strong brand. You like it? I like it. No. I want it.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Robert Strong brand?
Robert Stone?
Robert, yeah, it's like Robert Stone.
Just remember, he's a really good friend of your brother's, so watch what you're saying here. Robert Stone,
top three?
Okay, so my first one is I'm going to give it to the confrontation of Roderick Strong and Finn Balor. And him challenging my favorite, a great line for the night was, "You don't know how to get Adam Cole's attention. I do." That was a strong line. That put so much focus on Finn. And the best part was, it didn't put so much focus on Finn Balor. It put it on the title, which is exactly where it needs to be. He knows that it has nothing to do with Finn Balor. He knows it has nothing to do with Roderick Strong. It has everything to do with this title.
Finn's reaction was perfect too.
I hate Roderick's voice, by the way, guys. He needs it. Him and Scorpio Sky are the least intimidating sounding people.
Boys, I'm sure you wouldn't say that in front of their faces.
Roderick Strong looks like he'd be my Uber driver, so maybe Scorpio Sky, probably not.
The first thing I liked was the confrontation between Finn Balor and Roderick Strong. I thought it had a great line, wonderful energy. Both of those guys are very strong in the mic. I don't think either of them are annoying in their voices. I also really liked the therapy session. The best line of the entire segment was definitely, "You don't therapy on me, you therapy on him. Therapy all over him." That was great. That was fantastic. I thought it ran.
You faded out. You were like, now this is whatever. And then you saw the end and you're like, okay, I like it again.
Yeah, the ending definitely saved it because it got a little overblown there for a little while and it got kind of stupid in a lot of ways. But then seeing that like Johnny is playing and manipulating, which I think is a good characterization for Johnny in this role that he's in, the way where he's like being a leader, but like nobody looks at him and is like, he is a leader, right? So like to have him be like this manipulating leader and just kind of a dick and a dummy is really nice. I like that. And then the third thing I'm going to tell you that I liked, and you're probably not going to even believe me, is I like the LA Knight segment. I did not hate it. I want to like LA Knight. Okay. I want to, because of you guys. You guys make me see that he is worth following and liking, and I want to put in the effort to do it. Okay. So I liked this segment. I didn't think it was bad. I need some time to like, you know, fill up and get more time with him and stuff, but I'm going to put it down as a positive.
It is kind of scary. I feel like you should have put him in with someone who's a little bit better on the mic, because I don't think Bronson's going to be able to keep up.
Is it going to be with Bronson? What? Bronson didn't talk to him on the mic. He went out there and had that shit match with, what's his name?
Bronson lost the match because LA Knight came and screwed him over at the end, remember?
I guess, yeah. But yeah, I guess. That was a weird, you're right. But I was not paying enough attention to that part of it because that went over my head, to be honest with you. All right. And well, I was going to say most of the matches were actually a pretty negative for me. The tag team with what happened after I skipped a match completely because I didn't want to even watch it with Brazingo. Did he come out there? What happened? I skipped that entire segment. I just skipped
Legado it. Phantasma basic came out and laid out Ever Rise and Brazingo.
I skipped that. I skipped that entirety of it. I also thought that I like Ember Moon. I don't mind Shotzi Blackheart like Moise here hates her. But I thought that match was kind of a letdown just because it was kind of pointless in my opinion. And then I don't know. I guess there's not really another third thing. I just felt like there was not much energy in this week's NXT. It was not a meh episode, above meh.
It was a cool down show for them because last week's episode was full of action.
Last week I also thought it was very meh as well.
Oh, next week is full of action. Next week's where they announce the two title matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that next week is going to be
Finn Balor. Adam Cole. Does Adam Cole go over?
I don't think so.
Did they save that for a takeover?
I don't know.
Cross is getting that takeover.
Who? Cross? Stop talking about Cross. Nobody knows who that is. He's like an owl brand of wrestling.
I think that Kyle O'Reilly comes in and causes Adam Cole to lose that match next week.
That'd be a good ending. I could see that happening. All right, let's talk about AEW Revolution though, because we are completely out of time just about. And I want to hear a couple of I want to hear your guys' thoughts. What's going to happen with this barbed wired explosion match that I am so excited for, guys? So excited.
I think Kenny Omega goes over.
I do too, and I think they.
Why are we starting with the main event?
Because I have to talk about it because we don't have enough time to talk about everything. I think they blow up Jon Moxley, and I think he's off TV for a while. I think they're gonna kill Jon Moxley because what have we always been told about Jon Moxley that you can't get rid of him, you can't beat him. The only way to get rid of him is to kill him. That's what people, you know, that's like the generic thing to say and stuff. But I think
Poor Renee. I think I've been watching her tweets, and she's like, I should be happy about this match, but my husband's in it.
I think they kill Jon Moxley, and he's gone for a while. I think this is him taking a leap.
I agree because I think Renee's about that time that she's ready to pop.
She's pregnant.
Yeah.
Why did I not know that? I did not know that. How did I not know that?
Moxley announced it on AEW.
I do not remember seeing that promo because his promos are all mean and evil. I do not remember being like, I'm a dad and I love my wife and we're going to have a baby.
No, that's exactly what it was. It was like, my dad taught me how and now I'm going to teach my kid how. Yeah.
What? I missed that promo. I missed that highlight. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page.
I think
Kenny Omega goes over and John Dice.
If John Moxley wins this one, it'll be a complete surprise. I'll say it that.
Especially because it would kill all the momentum for Kenny Omega, right? It would kill all of it.
Well, and the spoiler's already been announced that Kenny's taking the title.
Shut up! I don't want to hear it. Don't.
Anyways.
Don't be a spoiler. That's mean.
It's an Impact spoiler. You don't watch Impact.
Okay, well, I don't want if it has to do with AEW matches.
No,
I don't want to hear about it.
Kenny's collector. Okay.
Move on.
All right. So what's her name? Sheeta versus I forgot her name already.
Rio.
Ryu.
Okay. Sheeta retains, right? All right. Here's the I guess we already addressed this one, but Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and MJF.
Okay. I think Young Bucks go over, and I think that they need the momentum in this thing that's happening with Kenny. I think to lose here and Kenny win as we expect him to, they need to keep up with him. And I think MJF and Jericho are going to do a great match against them. And and it pains me to say this because I legitimately don't like Chris Jericho anymore at all, but I think it's going to be a very good match, and I think that Sammy is going to come in and screw over MJF and Chris Jericho, and then we move into a nice little feud involving Sammy Guevara.
I can see that. I can see that.
That was all Moise's idea. I just stole everything out of Moise's head right there.
Yeah, that was
Brian Cage and Ricky Starks versus Darby Allin and Sting.
Okay. Let's Elias, before we get into this, let's take a deep breath and let's remember that these are all professionals and they've all chosen to be here.
And as much as I worry about Sting safety, I think that him and Darby are going over on this.
They have to, right?
Matt, if WWE did Sting versus Goldberg tomorrow, Elias would be all for it. He would not care about the safety. But
no,
Time out. How Goldberg almost broke the Undertaker's neck in Saudi Arabia. No, I would be like, no.
Poor Goldberg, right? Because everybody says he's a great guy, right? he's a walking death machine, it turns out. So
I think Sting and Darby go.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna change it right now. I'm on the fly, and you're gonna record this and you're gonna have this on the tape. I think, and I don't like saying this, Team Taz is going to win this match. Okay. They are. You know why? You know why? Because Darby, this is a non-title match, so no one's going to get affected. Sting is purely there for the pop, and Darby losing this doesn't hurt him the same way that losing this would hurt Brian Cage and Ricky
Starks. You know what? I can actually agree on that, because if Brian Cage actually pins Darby Allin, it puts him in the number one contender spot for it.
No, it doesn't, because the ladder match is the number one contender.
Not for the TNT title.
Yeah, for the TNT title. Because Cody can't challenge for the world title, remember?
It can. It was only
against Ever.
Bullshit. What are you talking about? Stop
it
talking.
It was Ever. No, it was Ever.
You're like, Ever. Match. I'm going to look that stipulation up right now. It was while Jericho was champion. Oh,
yeah. Geez. Ever.
Moise, if you say that again, I will drive all the way to wherever you live.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. The six-man ladder match. This is the one I was most excited for. Who do you all think wins this? Is it the mystery guy or someone that's already been announced?
I honestly don't know all the competitors by harder name.
Scorpio,
Phoenix was in it.
Scorpio, Cody Rhodes, Penta, Lance Archer, Max Caster, and TBD.
I don't know. You guys tell me. I don't know.
Cody
world champion AEW.
I think Archer and
never challenge
Archer and Darby could be good.
I can never challenge for the world championship again, Cody said. I'm not going to challenge for it under a different name. However, Cody insists it won't happen, with the reason being he doesn't want his career to have an asterisk beside it because of his position within AEW. He'll win it in 2 years.
Or when he retires, they're going to give it to him. One or two.
That would be sweet, though. If that was to happen, I think all fans would be totally chill with that, right?
Yeah,
I'll be cool with it.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
All right.
I want to see Archer versus Darby, so I'm going to go Archer.
Who do you think wins, Big Money Matt or Adam Page?
Wait, Adam, who's your six man prediction?
Oh, who's, I don't know who the fuck are these people? RVD.
Okay, RVD. Okay, he could be the mystery guy. Yeah.
It's Daga, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear it first. It's Daga, and Tessa Blanchard will be the signing.
It's gonna be Ace Austin. Austin Aces.
He's money, by the way.
And he's in Impact now, right?
It's probably gonna be Ryback.
Mick Foley. He's gonna be Mick Foley. Oh fuck you. I know who's gonna be. It's gonna be Lex Luger.
Stop, man.
And then Tony's gonna be able to say it's Luger.
Okay, dude.
It's Lex Luger.
There, Dare's a better chance at Glacier, okay?
Glacier! He can't use that name no more. That name's not allowed to be used, actually, so it can't be Glacier. You idiot. Gosh.
God. All right.
Big Money Matt or Adam Page? And we Adam Page is going to win because the next gimmick is going to be broke-ass Matt, right?
Yes.
Yes, and that's great. That's the best thing that's happening in wrestling now.
If they show Matt Hardy at home with Rebby, and Rebby just, oh my God, digging into him because he can't get money, I would love it.
Right? This is going to be so good. I believe in this. I
just want to see Rebby on TV.
I believe in this feud that's happening, and I enjoy it a lot. Okay, any other matches?
Miro and Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor.
That's going to be a good match.
What do you do here?
I agree, and that's why it's a good match, right? I could see it going either way. I don't think it hurts anyone to lose, and I think it only helps somebody to win. Like, this is one of those...
I don't know who's going to win this one, honestly.
I don't either. I have no idea. I can tell you who I want to have win. I like Orange Cassidy more, so I want Orange Cassidy to win this match.
Man, I think if you just have Miro killed him in like 5 minutes, I think you'd put him into the title picture right away.
I don't think you put him in the title picture right away. I think that's a little crazy talk from you right now, but I think it would make him look real strong. But then why have Kip Sabian in the match?
Kip and Miro for against the Young Bucks for tag titles?
No, that's not. No way. I do not see that at all. That's a weird. I don't see that.
It's already a weird pairing, in my opinion, but
it is. But they're doing it because they're getting revenge, which is fine.
Yeah,
it's just revenge, so it's fine.
Do we care about the casino tag team royale?
I think Phoenix and Pac. I told Matt this while you were gone. I think Phoenix and Pac win, and they're going to face the Young Bucks.
So wait, is that one is that going to be on the pre-show, or is the ladder match going to be on the pre-show?
The pre-show is going to be Rio and Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker and somebody of her choice.
Tessa.
That's dumb. What? They're going to put her on the pre-show? They're going to sign this big name, and the big show is like, I got a big show name for you guys. And they're going to be like, it's on the pre-show. Gotcha. I don't think that's going to happen, okay?
I don't know.
Matt, what's been your brother's complaint the last couple of AEW pay-per-views? I can't get past the pre-show.
Yeah, but that's his fault for watching it. Nobody watches the pre-show. Nobody watches it.
Introduce Tessa on the pre-show. You'll get past it.
Moise, if you interrupt me one more time while I am talking, so help me, I will fly all the way to Texas. And here's the thing, Moise. This is not hyperbole right now, okay? What I'm telling you right now, that is a fact of life, okay? So interrupt me one more time. You don't have to call me the GOAT, okay? You can just call me M.A. at.
Hey, Elias, what did I say last week?
Give it a couple of
one weekend, and he's saying it, bruh.
If you're watching this,
I can't wait for the
professional
first
wrestling. If you're watching this,
I can't wait. Wrestling, I can't wait for the first dummy. Yeah,
make sure you show up every Thursday for this sort of hilarious and great commentary. We'll be talking about the pay-per-view and NXT and AEW and anything else in the world of news in wrestling. Please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Also, share this. Once again, I'm telling you, share it with someone you don't know. Share it with somebody you do know. And if you're the boss of somebody, I'm not saying that you can legally make them watch this, but you definitely can suggest it. So I'm just letting you know.
So final points before we sign out. Our podcast will be going back up on our streaming services. We'll be downloading the audio portion of this and uploading it to our Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other streaming platforms that are out there for podcasts. So just be on the lookout these next couple of weeks. You'll see past episodes go up and this episode as well, and all the future episodes will be posted on audio as well. So, anything else before we sign out, guys?
I want to call you Elias, but I want to call you the GOAT. But I'm just going to call you Mr. Laredo.
And that's a fact of life.
Dummy. Yeah.
Okay, I'm no longer sold on this anymore. I'm done.
Dude, Matt, wait till you're the first dummy. Yeah, dude, you're gonna fall in love.
Moise, you can't jump on the coattails of my promo skills. Okay, you can't try to use what I'm doing, and you can't. Moise, right here,
Dummy,
Moise, right here, yeah, Moise, right here.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us on another show. We'll be back next week at the same time, 8 p.m. Central Time. From me, Moyes, and Matt, we are signing out. Peace out and have a good weekend, guys. Peace.
Dummy. Yeah.